May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. We read the story today of Mary's visit to Elizabeth. And we hear the song, the Magnificat, which we sang together and then heard Mary's words. And while it's true that Mary is the epitome of Advent, you know, we get 4 weeks, she got 9 months, right, of Advent. I think I want to look at Elizabeth this morning, not so much at Mary, but at Elizabeth, and her response to her part in the salvation story. As we know from earlier in the Gospel of Luke, that Elizabeth and Zechariah were older than it would be expected that one would have a child. But when it was his turn to go into the temple, Zechariah went in and at the hour of prayer was offering the sacrifice of incense before the Lord. And Gabriel, the archangel, appeared to him and prophesied to him that Elizabeth would indeed become pregnant and have a child, and that he would call his name John. And Zechariah doubted, and Gabriel said, "You doubt me. I come from God. You won't be able to speak until the child is born." And sure enough, he's in there a long time talking. He took too long doing incense, which I think is a good thing. But he took too long doing the incense, and the people were worried about him until he came out and motioned to them that he had seen a vision. And Elizabeth becomes pregnant shortly thereafter, and now our story happens after that, after Gabriel has appeared to Mary, and now she, being pregnant, comes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And this, which Luke tells us, and then he tells us Elizabeth's words, that when she heard Mary's voice calling to her, probably from the courtyard, "Cousin Elizabeth, I heard the sound of your greeting. The child leaped in my womb." Now, we probably, as you know, highly scientific people, write that off as just plain silliness, you know, and John was just stretching his legs and it just happened at the right time. I would disagree. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and so was her child. And this is why I want to look at Elizabeth. She is, in the sense of the cultural fulfillment of her day as a woman, she is unfulfilled before she has a child. She's barren, that's the old word. Well, this is not a new story in the Scripture. We all go all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. God said, "Your descendants will be as the sand of the seashore." And he says, "But Lord, I don't even have one descendant yet. And she's 90 and I'm 100. Again, same kind of story. God intervenes. The child of promise is conceived. Some years later, another woman who, out of favor with her husband because she has not borne him a child, goes to the tabernacle. After the people of Israel are in the land of promise, then the tent is there set up at Shiloh, and her name is Hannah, and her husband Elkanah. And she goes and she prays for a child for years. And then one year she's praying so fervently that she has no words left. And the priest Eli reprimands her. "Woman, get up. You're drunk in the house of God. You're being a disgrace. Get out." And she says, "My Lord Eli, I'm not drunk. I just have no words left. I want a child." And Eli was, you got to study Eli sometime. He was a complete noob sometimes. And sometimes he was a prophet of the Most High God. He was totally wrong. "Get out of here, you're drunk." And then all of a sudden by the Spirit, he's totally right. And next year she bears a child, Samuel the prophet, the kingmaker. And so this story of those who are past hope, those who don't see, don't perceive themselves as useful in society, in culture, those who, the woman who has not born an heir you know, our own Henry VIII had a problem with that, right? So here are these who are hopeless. They have nothing, they can't do anything of their own to secure their place in the God story, in the family story, in the cultural story. And yet, sometimes by the act of God, sometimes because they started it with prayer and desire, this child of promise, this one that God intends to come into the world, whether it's Isaac or Samuel or John the Baptist, and even with Mary, when Christ comes into the world, this thing happens because God wants it to happen. And yet it also happens because she wants it to happen. Sarah certainly wanted to bear a son for Abraham. Hannah wanted to bear a son for Elkanah. Elizabeth wanted to bear a son for Zechariah. And though Mary's situation is a little bit unique, when the angel Gabriel said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will conceive and bear a child," she said yes. But what is it, maybe growing inside me, that will leap for joy when I hear the words of the coming of the gospel? Has God planted something in me that will respond? Because there's a resonance between God himself, God's good news, and what God has placed in our hearts. Because what is in us, just like with these women of the scripture, just like with Elizabeth, that which is planted in us is a unique and glorious gift from God. It's not something we can create. Just like they couldn't make themselves conceive when they were, for whatever reason, incapable, but God could. We can't start the process of ministry, vocation, burden, interest, or whatever it is that moves us to do the work of the kingdom of God. He has to plant that in us. Sometimes he plants it in us, and like Mary, we say amen right out of the gate. Not usually, though. Usually, we come to a place of helplessness, a place of loneliness, a place of despair, a place where we don't find ourselves useful. And like Hannah on her knees in the tabernacle, crying out to God so fervently that she had no words, "God, give me something of you. Do something with me. Make me part of the kingdom." And then something begins to grow. A sense of self, a sense of God-given value, a sense of that which is growing in me is something God wants me to do. And it could be any of the callings in the church. It doesn't... any of the ministries of the church. But then when that thing starts to grow in us, like Elizabeth, when we hear the voice of the greeting of God, the gospel on the horizon, an opportunity for that ministry to fulfill itself. Because if John leaps in her womb for joy, it's because of the child in the womb of Mary who is going to fulfill his calling. And in the fulfilling of his calling, Elizabeth's bearing him is fulfilled. And so what is on the horizon of the gifts of God, of the proclaiming of the gospel, will cause that which he places in you for ministry, for work, for glory, for holiness, for devotion, will respond by leaping. But it has to be placed in you by him. Now, sometimes there are those of us, maybe, who have never felt that. Never felt that God gave anything to us that would respond in that way. Nothing of great value to the church, where we sort of muddle our way along and we keep our head down and we hope that, you know, General Convention doesn't do something to upset the boat yet again. Or that the bishop doesn't write a letter to the editor that makes everybody mad at each other. And we're like, just don't do anything stupid. Just don't mess it up. You know, we walk through our life in the church with our heads down. And we feel like we're not of any value. We don't feel like there's any glory in it. Like one of these women who, according to their culture, didn't have great value because they hadn't born a child. If you're one of those who has been spiritually barren in the gifts of God, get down on your knees and beg for it. Pray for it like Hannah did. There's nothing wrong with begging for that which is good. There's nothing wrong with telling God, I want a piece of your glory. I want a piece of your work. If we're like Mary and he visited us first and called us and we said yes, believe me, there are a lot of people that said yes to their first calling in the Lord and were so beat up by it. They were betrayed by someone. Just so you know, I want to tell you this that some of you haven't heard. Of course, I've been a priest for 19 years almost now. And then the second brother was ordained priest 4 years ago. And the youngest of the three of us just got a call from his bishop. He's going to be made priest this winter. You know how many clergy children will have nothing to do with the church because the church hurt their parents? You called me once, God, and I said yes, and I'm not listening anymore. Sometimes we've never heard it. Sometimes we heard it once, and we know that if we answer that call, it's going to hurt us if we say yes again. But it's the glory of God being planted in us for his ministry and for his work. Desire something planted in you that will leap when you hear the voice of God. Ask him for it. It is his intention to give it to you. When you ask, be confident that he will give. When he gives, say amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.